question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry we kept you waiting. We ran a little behind, and I apologize for taking your time to wait on the phone. But we're out in Washington, and the primary purpose for our visit today is to make a presentation to the Interagency Council on Homelessness. This is a council that President Bush reinstated in 2001. It is a council comprising of 18 people, but the principals in it and that were in attendance today include the chair of it, Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, Secretary of Education, Rod Page, Secretary of HUD, Alfonso Jackson, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Principe, Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Labor, is part of this, although she was unable to make it today. The Director of the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, Jim Tooley, was there as well, and then many others from various other agencies and the like. We were invited to come and present Minnesota's business plan for ending long-term homelessness by 2010. We were excited about the opportunity to do that. This is a great opportunity to get all of the key players on the federal level in the room to hear our plan and to make a pitch for their help and their involvement. And for those who may not be familiar with our plan, the short version of it is we've set a goal of ending chronic or long-term homelessness in Minnesota by 2010. A definition of who's chronic or long-term homelessness is that by the Minnesota standards, you have to be homeless either for a year or having been intermittent homeless at least four times in the preceding 3 years. If you use that definition and focus just on the chronic homelessness in Minnesota, we have about 3,300 households that fit that definition, or about 2,800 individuals. Of that, there's about, 3,300 individuals or 2,800 households. Of that, there's about 500 individuals who are children. This problem in Minnesota is not so large that we can't get our arms around it and we can't solve it, and we're committed to doing that. The business plan that we've outlined would dedicate $540 million grand total over the life of our plan. About half of that is for capital investments to build 4,000 or build or obtain or otherwise get control of 4,000 additional units of housing for these individuals. The rest would be, the other half or so would be in operating expenses or programmatic dollars. This is a housing first plan because we think the first step towards stabilizing individuals who are homeless is getting them a stable housing unit, but it would also feature supportive services that would obviously, many of these individuals are receiving those services now in one form or another, but this would be a more integrated, holistic approach, so the housing and the services would be coordinated. And we think this is a nation-leading plan. In fact, we know it's a nation-leading plan. We believe we're ahead of the other states in responding to the call to tackle this problem in a business-like, accountable, measurable way. And we also made a pitch to this group to allow us to bundle up this project as one initiative or one project, because if we have to go through the federal government for each piece of it, the likely hundreds of developments that will comprise the project, we have to run the gauntlet of federal approvals and the like for each of these developments. It's going to be a real problem or challenge. So we've asked them to direct their staffs to work with us to bundle it up as one big project and perhaps get one global waiver that allow this thing to move through the federal government in a much more streamlined fashion. And they seemed interested in that. We're excited about it. Commissioner Marks is here with me from the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and we think this is really a good plan, and it's going to be very helpful to people who are most in need in our society. I'm going to be meeting later today with Secretary Thompson on other matters at his invitation, so we're going to do that before we head back to Minnesota later on this afternoon, hoping to get back for the Go for Women send-off, but that may be a close call with the flight times. But in any event, we wanted to just share with you what we're up to, and we'll be happy to take your questions on that or anything else that is on your mind. So, Terry, we can go ahead and open up the lines.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. One moment, please, for the first question. Our first question comes from Eric Escala. Sir, you may ask your question.
Governor, what exactly do you need from the feds, and is it just a permission to do this, or is there some money attached, and is Congress involved? Can it kind of give us the lay of the land of what you need from the feds?
Yes. What we need from the feds, in short, Eric, is money and approval in terms of the regulations and other hurdles that they require us to jump over to be a partner for these kinds of projects. And it's complicated, and it involves a lot of federal agencies. That's why we're looking for that bundled approach and through a demonstration project. We believe by demonstrating early leadership and being aggressive on this issue, we've got their attention, and they're going to be willing to fund us and encourage us through maybe allowing us to jump over some of these regulatory hurdles more easily as in the to encourage our demonstration project and leadership efforts. So the short answer to your question is we need their money and we need their help. We're putting a lot of money and resources on the table in Minnesota, but we do need the federal government to be a partner in encouraging this to happen.
Are you there auditioning with other projects from other states?
Well, only two entities or governmental units were invited to present. One was us, the state of Minnesota, and the other was the city of Chattanooga in Tennessee. They also gave some time to Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia. So there's only three presentations that were made to the group, and without being immodest, they did say that they view Minnesota as a nation-leading program in this regard and really liked our approach.
Our next question comes from Laura McCallum.
Laura, are you there?
Ms. McCallum, could you check your mute button, please?
There. Governor, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry about that.
Verizon.
The conference call part is very... First question, you were talking about getting some federal approval for this, or getting some federal money. Is the federal money for the services part of it? Because, you know, from the state, I think you simply asked for bonding money to actually build the housing, but then you were talking about supportive services, and then I have a follow-up on an unrelated issue.
Yes, and I could put Tim Marks on the phone for the details of it, but we actually, somewhat to our surprise today, while we were in the meeting, they announced a small initial grant to Minnesota of $2.1 million that will go to the Twin Cities and then also a designated chunk to Greater Minnesota to help get these programs underway. But we definitely need their financial help. Minnesota is going to play a big role. Our state government is. We also expect a nonprofit community to play a role, the philanthropic community to play a role, the private sector to play a role, and the federal government to play a role. So we are going to ask for money, and I think we're going to get some. We got the first chunk of it today, but it's going to take the form of cash for services, for planning money. It may take the form of tax credits for developers who are interested in helping to construct these projects. It may also take the form of social service money for the support of chemical dependency, mental health, job counseling type services that we hope we can wrap around these facilities.
Okay, and then just a quick follow-up on a different topic. If you would indulge me, you're obviously Commissioner Molnow ran into some trouble the other night. Commissioner Yeki gets a Senate hearing tonight. What do you feel like, you know, you need to have a serious talk with the Senate about this, or what's going to be your approach now?
I have had a serious talk with the Senate about it. I've made it very clear to Senator Johnson how I view these matters and how... You know, playing politics with it is really a disservice to Minnesota and a disservice in the long run to getting good things done for our state. So he's aware of that and on notice of that. The thing, a couple of things I would highlight in the discussion. The first is, you know, we have two unquestionably qualified, competent, strong women leaders in Carol Molnow and in Sherry Yeki. And for the DFL party to say, yeah, we want to encourage women leadership as long as they don't agree with us, then that seems just so disingenuous. You know, we have an opportunity here for the state collectively to affirm and to recognize strong, competent, qualified women leaders, and it's bizarre that the DFL party is now saying we can't have those kinds of women in leadership positions unless they agree with us. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, even if they don't confirm these individuals, we're not changing policy direction. You know, these are reform-oriented, change-oriented, strong leaders. They are clearly qualified, and this is just kind of a new low in terms of gamesmanship at the legislature, and there's just no real reason why they shouldn't be confirmed.
Bill Warner, you may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. I have, a couple-part question, if you don't mind. The first, actually, on the previous topic, it looks like House Republicans are going to move forward, probably putting it on as an amendment onto the state government's bill next week regarding Senate confirmation of appointments. They want to have language in state law that says, if the Senate neither confirms nor rejects the appointment before the Senate adjourns the annual regular session to which that appointment was submitted, then the may not thereafter act on the appointment. So, in other words, if they don't act by the end of the session, your appointment stands. What do you think about moves in the House to do that?
I think that's a good amendment. I mean, it's just ridiculous. We've been in office for 15 months, and these individuals have been performing in their position and doing a good job. And to now disrupt their lives and to say a year and a half after the fact, when the Senate should have done this last year, it's just not fair. I mean, it's just not fair. But I think the DFL, frankly, is, you know, they don't have an agenda. They don't have an issue cluster. They really don't want to stand up and say, you know, we're the party that wants to raise your taxes, add more welfare, you know, be in favor of gay marriages. And by the way, we can't reform government because we're so beholden to the public employee unions that we can't really change the bureaucracy. So they're kind of relegated to personal attacks and pettiness. And it's, I think the people of Minnesota are going to see through that, and once again, they're going to overplay their hand.
My second question, Governor, is you're going to meet with Secretary Thompson, did you say? And the question is, are you going to talk about prescription drugs, and can you update us on that whole situation?
I'm going to meet with Secretary Thompson later on this afternoon at his invitation, and we don't have a specific agenda, but I strongly suspect the issue of prescription medicines will come up, and I'm anxiously awaiting that conversation and hoping we can find a way to work together to advance ways to get more affordable prescription medicines in the hands of consumers who need it.
Do you have any indications on what his thrust may be in this meeting and perhaps what your response would be?
Well, I spoke to him briefly after the meeting this morning, and he said he wanted to talk about a number of issues, but I don't want to prejudge the meeting because I don't know what he has in mind yet.
Perhaps we can talk to you afterwards then. Thanks, Governor.
Okay.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Erica Scala, you may ask your question.
Governor, there were some folks in the House Republican Caucus trying to sort of, I don't know, there were Tim Pawlenty-ologists yesterday trying to read your meaning on gambling as you discussed gambling with some of the House Republicans in I think it was a meeting yesterday. Can you help? Have things changed? Are you signaling to them that you will accept a gambling bill? Give us a sense of where you are as the budget begins to crystallize. The budget debate begins to crystallize here.
Well, it's basically, Eric. I just reiterated what I've been saying for a while now, and that is, my preference, rather than expanding gambling, would be to have the tribal communities make a contribution to the state, a financial contribution to the state. I think that's fair. I think it's appropriate, and the time has come for that. So that's what I would like to have as a first preference, but I can't get the tribal communities to the table or to negotiate a meaningful result unless they believe and unless I'm actually willing to consider other alternatives, because that's the leverage I would have and do have in the negotiations. And so that's where we're at. My hope is that the discussions and the negotiations with the tribal communities go well, but they need to know that, you know, if they don't go well, you know, I am going to consider other options. And that's what I tried to convey to the caucus yesterday, and that's what I've been saying for many weeks now.
In the short term, though, for the $160 million, and I think people may hear what they want to hear, but I got the impression from some folks that to them, you left the door open to for Canterbury or something else to serve as a revenue source to prevent more budget cuts. Is that fair or not?
Well, as these negotiations and discussions go on with the tribal communities, everybody needs to know, both on the tribal community side of the discussion as well as the legislative side of the discussion, you know, I'm willing to consider other options, and there is some merit in being the first ones to deliver a deal to my desk. There's some value in that being first, and so we'll see what happens. But in terms of where we're at this session with the current biennial deficit, you know, it seems like the House is willing to consider some form of gaming. The Senate doesn't appear like they're wanting to do that, and so I don't know if it's going to be in play at the end of session or not.
Chip Wadena won the primary in White Earth over Chairman Turner, and he has a different view on gambling than Chairman Turner does. Is that any sense of how these tribal elections are going to change the landscape, if at all?
Is Chairman Turner still in the general election, or was the margin so strong that it ended with the primary?
I believe he's third, finished third, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the new or the winner of the primary's views are in gambling. I haven't had a chance to talk to him, so I'm not sure how that'll affect the discussion.
Bill Warner, you may ask your question.
Hi, Governor. Just a quick follow-up to what you said. If I understand you correctly, you said that as opposed to expanding gambling, you'd prefer the tribes to make a contribution to the state. The Senate Majority Leader has been talking about the same thing. You know, like a contribution for a Gophers stadium or something of that sort. Whose idea is this? Is this your idea or is it Senator Johnson?
If Senator Johnson is now talking about the tribal communities coming to the table and making a financial contribution, that's a new development as far as I know, so I don't think he would be the one who pursued it.
I think he talked to us, to Eric and I, about it, actually, outside your office, as I recall, maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago now.
Well, then he would not be the first. But in terms of where the money goes, we don't need it for the stadium. And, you know, part of the discussion with the tribal communities might be they may have some ideas or preferences where they would like the money to go, and we should at least consider that. But we have a stadium plan on the proposal on the table that doesn't take any money out of the state's general fund, doesn't upset other priorities, and doesn't involve any gambling money.
Thank you, Governor.
At this time, sir, there are no further questions.
Okay, thank you for your interest. Have a good day, and I'll see you down the trail.